Some have heard about it. Those that understand it are the ones that can appreciate it. But if we could all understand it and appreciate it, when you got ready to bow your head and pray, you wouldn't be afraid to do it. When you wanted to lift your hands in praise, you wouldn't feel unworthy to do it. If you could understand and fully appreciate one particular truth found in the Word of God. And as I said in the email, unfortunately, it's almost a secret. Because as long as I've been in the ministry, though it's not a secret, as long as I've been in the ministry, except my preacher friends, we talk about it a little bit, but I hardly ever hear anyone talk about a very profound truth that I'm going to share with you tonight. I don't know if I've ever heard a layperson mention the word, ever. I'm not fussing at you. I just think somehow or another we're not getting in on something that is a great privilege to be able to say. And tonight I want to share it with you. And it just dawned on me while I was praying, actually about 2 weeks ago, and I was thanking God for what I'm going to talk about tonight. And then when I got through praying, I thought, you know, I don't know if I've ever really talked about that as much as I need to. And I don't know if people understand that. And I got to thinking while I was praying, I thought, you know, this gives me a privilege. And because of this privilege, I can go into the throne room and speak to God and talk to Him about whatever it is that's on my heart. My lesson tonight is, can you say adoption? Can you say adoption? What is adoption? Well, you know, in Western culture, adoption usually takes place when a man and a woman decide they want to extend their family for whatever reason, and they'll go to a certain facility, a certain place, and they'll get on a list, and they'll go through all the logistics that it takes to adopt a child. Brother Marty and May adopted both of their children. And, of course, we've had people here that went all the way to China. Terry and Brian went all the way to China and adopted two children. In our culture, adoption is all about going down there or going where it is you go. I used to tell my kids all the time, if you don't hush, I'm taking you back to the orphanage. And at first, Cinda would get so mad at me. She quit telling those kids stuff like that. And her mama really got mad at me. And so I did it just to frustrate her. Seth, you know, he's just a little bitty thing. And I'd pick him up, he'd cry, and Gail tried to fuss him. I says, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm carrying him back to the orphanage. Oh, she would light into me. And it was just, I'd just crack up laughing, you know. But it doesn't mean we came from the orphanage. You know, in the Roman law, the thing about a child, the law was really on the side of the father. For example, his children were like slaves. They had no real rights. They couldn't buy property. They couldn't sell. They couldn't make decisions. They couldn't. They were, and I'll show you even where the scripture alludes to this, they had no real privileges any different than what slaves did. There was a period of time where they were under the tutelage of someone that would mentor them and teach them about life and so forth, but they were denied all privileges, even if they had been born into a very wealthy home. Until a time when the father would decide that that child was an adult. And they were no longer a baby. They were, in his mind, an adult son or an adult daughter. They would have a ceremony and the process of adoption, What it actually did for that child is it gave that child an adult standing in the family that enabled that child to now do all of the things, enjoy all of the privileges of his father. He literally, or she, became a joint heir to all of the property and all of the privileges, making those decisions. So waiting for the adoption was a really big deal. It's kind of like in our culture, we can't wait to get our driver's license. Then you can't wait to turn 18. Then you can't wait to be 21. And then from there, you can wait on all of it. You know, I mean, you turn 30. That sounds like milk that's soured. You know, and then you start pushing 40. I mean, it's just terrible after that. And then you hit 50. And then, oh my God, is 60 on the way. I mean, it's horrible. So, but anyway, in those days, the adult son. So we get excited about being declared an adult in our culture, but it's very, very different now. Usually what happens to in our culture when something your dad says, okay, you're grown now, that means they're cutting you off. In those days, they were cutting you in. You know? So let's look at some verses tonight. Just throw this on the screen just to show you different places in the Bible where if you can see that screen there, you got the Romans 8 passage, Romans 9, Galatians 4, Ephesians 1. Paul loved to use this word adoption. And he reiterates it in various writings. He says, ye have received the spirit of adoption. Now, the reason he calls it a spirit of adoption is obvious because it's not something that is done, you know, like our baptism is something done out of the open. But the spirit of adoption, in spirit, you are adopted. There is an eschatological phase to the adoption. Romans 8:23, and I say that I'm talking about eschatological. I'm talking about the future things. We're waiting for the adoption, and the rest of that verse says, to wit the redemption of our bodies. And that's when we're, you know, glorified in the presence of God. Romans 9, he talks about those to whom pertaineth the adoption. And the word literally means to be an adult son or adult daughter, an adult child. That we might receive the adoption of sons, again, different from a child. That word there speaks to not babies, but children, as Ephesians 1, 5, unto the adoption of children. So this whole thing, Paul says, in a spiritual way, what happens to a person that comes to Christ is very much like what happens in the Roman culture, where there's this ceremony and these privileges are granted. Paul is saying, did you know that when you were born again, you received a spirit of adoption that entitled you to privileges of an adult son in the family of God? And it's a pretty exciting thing. You see, the way you enter the family of God is through regeneration or being born again. There's no other way. The way you enjoy the family of God is better understanding adoption. Now, how does that help us? How does that, you know, it says, well, that sounds pretty good and all, but it just looks like another word tucked into, theologies. How can we appreciate this and the practicality of it? And that's what I want to show you tonight. Because you are adopted, because you are in God's eyes, not just born again like a babe, you are also a son or a daughter with lots of privileges and lots of responsibilities. How can you enjoy those privileges? Okay? What are they? First of all, let's look at our passage in Romans 8. Now, I want to say this. Warren Wiersbe, first time I ever really, got a handle on this many years ago, he wrote a wonderful book called The Keywords to the Christian Life. And in this book, he looks at different words like justification, regeneration, adoption, imputation, and other things. And he cites six privileges of a person who has been biblically adopted. And so we're going to borrow that because I couldn't do any better. And I just think it's a wonderful way to appreciate this great passage. So here's the text in Romans 8:14-17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's pray and ask God to help us understand this great passage together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, the word of God is just, it's black ink on white paper until the Holy Spirit makes it real to our understanding. And so, Lord, I humbly ask you tonight to make this wonderful truth of Scripture, let it become animated in such a way in the minds of the people that they could see it so clearly and appreciate it so much and begin to enjoy the journey more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen. What are the privileges of being seen by God as an adult son? Well, as Wiersbe points out, number one, he says we have walking privileges. Did you see the text? He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, a little bitty baby, you know, when you're born again in the family of God, God sees you in some ways, that, you know, that's like a little baby giving birth, you know, or being born. But babies can't walk for quite a long amount of time, depending on the child. But here is a person not just walking, but they're being led. A person that can be led is a person that is able to follow instructions and make decisions. So decision-making is involved. So what the Lord is saying here to us is that when you are adopted, when you are saved, you're not just a babe in Christ, but you are a child of God that has now the ability to follow the leadership of God. Every child of God is blessed with that privilege. They can now walk with God. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, I appreciate that person. They really walk with God. You know, we all walk with God in a sense. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, the rest of that verse says, they are the sons of God. Okay? That word son, again, they are the adult children. Okay? So you get walking privileges. You get the privilege now to walk with God. And now walking gives you, there's a responsibility involved of making the right decisions. Okay? And so when you got saved, did you notice that? Did you notice that when the Holy Spirit came into your heart, what you wanted to start doing is walking right? You felt that you were being led. You know, it's church time. And he says, you know, I'm supposed to be at church tonight. I'm supposed to be at church Sunday. And the next thing you know, you heard the sermon, or maybe you heard somebody say, your Sunday school teacher, and your heart got convicted about something, and you had a decision that you had to make. You said, you know, that's not right. I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm doing that. And so you made the decision, hey, I'm going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit convicted you when you did something really bad, and then you had your fellowship broken. That made you very, very sad. And so then you were led to repent, to pray, to confess, to seek forgiveness. All God's children are led by the Spirit of God. Every single one of them. And that's a part of the adoption. When my children were born, they couldn't follow me. They couldn't make decisions. You know, I'd pick them up and carry them everywhere they had to go. But you know, when they got older, the things that you taught them, they were supposed to go and take those things and apply them to their lives. But God is saying here that when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, you at that very moment will begin to be led by the Spirit of God because of adoption. Because you are not just a little baby in God's sight, you are a son or a daughter with adoption privileges. The second thing pointed out in that study is that you not only have walking privileges, but you have freedom privileges. I really like this. He says, if you have not received, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, one thing about a baby, they come into the world in bondage. Think about it. When they're conceived inside the safety of their mother's womb, that's pretty confining. You know, and they'll grow safely inside their mom's womb until they begin to get restless and realize, and now they're fully developed, and through the wonderful miracle of birth, they begin to fight their way out of the birth canal, and they come into the world. But then they're taken and placed in this little container, and that's confining too. You go to the nursery and you look at them, so there's the baby there, and they got them stuck in this little cage, you know. Not so different than what you see at the pet shop. Think about it. Been a pet shop. I had Talon and Kyler with me a few weeks ago, and they wanted to stop at a pet shop. We looked at the little puppies and little different things, and they were in those cages. Not so different from what I saw Kyler in one time. And I'd like to put Talon back in one sometimes. But anyway, they come in the world in bondage, okay? But when you get ready to take them home, how many of you remember the day you took your child home for the first time? It was a big deal for us. You know, I remember Senna's mom come up there, and she had this special little outfit, and Senna still got that outfit. This is his going home outfit or whatever, leaving the hospital outfit, whatever you call it. But what I really remember about is that nurse showing us how you had to take that baby. And she took Seth and she wrapped him this way and wrapped him that way and rolled him up this way and tightened him down this way. And I mean, honest to God, he was confined. Okay? Well, we took him out of there and put him in a little pumpkin seat, we called it then, and strapped it down real tight. Then we took that pumpkin seat and we carried it to the car and we set it in the back seat of the car and we strapped it down again. And then when we got him home, we took him out of there and we put him in a bed that had bars on it. And when he got a little bit older, we stuck him in a pen called a playpen. You know, Ryder was at the house the other day. You don't know him too well, but he's a cutie pie too. I'm telling you, but that little kid is, you know, everybody's got to brag a little bit. He's the strongest little 2-year-old I've ever seen in my entire life. The other day, there was a little weight, you know. I've been really working out. I don't know if you can tell. It's about 5 pounds, you know, on the floor there. It wasn't mine. This was Cinda's weight, okay? But it was a 5-pound weight, okay? And Cinda picks it one or two times and says, oh, my arm's hurting. And so Ryder, as I'm telling you the truth, Ryder walks over there, picks that little thing up, carries it over there, and holds it out just like that there. I said, my goodness. Bam, bam. You know, you used to call Seth Bam Bam. You gave him that name. Ryder talks like pebbles, and he works around the house like Bam Bam, tearing up everything. But anyway, even though he's out of the pen and out of the pumpkin seat and all of this kind of stuff, now he's picking up everything, you know? And that bathroom, men back there, that's what I live in, stuff like that. I mean, I walked in there, I saw this little cup she's got. My house is full of that. She said, we need to bring it home. I said, no, we don't. Just leave it. Maybe somebody will get it. Take it away. But anyway, so she got these things she don't want, you know, the kids touching. So now she bought these little fences, you know, that shuts this hallway off and shuts this space off and shuts this space off. So he's a little bit bigger now, and he's not strapped like this, but he's still in bondage, trust me. And that's what you do. Babies are in bondage. And one thing babies are really into is in bondage to fear. You know, have you ever, your child just really disappointed you? Maybe it was your mama, the grandmother, or somebody that was going, you know, really do something. Maybe they're going to pay for the college or whatever. And you say, here, go to Pawpaw. And they just go crazy. You know, they're just terrified of them. They get scared real easy. Now, God's children, the babe in Christ, yes, that's how you came in the family of God. But that's not how you enjoy the family of God. You enjoy the family of God when you understand that, hey, look, you are no longer in bondage to fear. You have the freedom now to enjoy the privilege. Look at the Galatians passage, and with all that in mind, let me show you how this thing works. Galatians 4, 1 through 6, it says, now I say that the heir, watch this, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant or a slave, though he be Lord of all. I mean, he may be in line to have a lot of wealth one day, but as long as he is just the babe, he's no different than the slave. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. The father makes that decision. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Not when you were a babe in Christ, but when you were lost. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Why? So that we could receive the adoption of sons. So that we could no longer be without whatever it is we needed. Now, if you understood that, hey, wait a minute, because God sent Jesus into the world through the womb of a woman, raised him up, allowed him to be crucified, buried, rise again, to redeem those of us who were like slaves under bondage to the law, so that now he could give us the adoption of sons that allowed us to have the privileges of being an heir and enjoy all the things we need. The child of God should never fret or worry about not having their needs met. They've received the adoption of sons. You're a joint heir. And you have access to all of that. Now, why is this possible? Notice verse 6. Because you are sons. Because you are adult sons, you are in line for your inheritance. Some of it is eschatological when you get your new body. But right now, I'm going to show you some privileges that are for you tonight, today, tomorrow. Through every circumstance of your life. Because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. So you have the freedom. And then verse 7, I like that. You are no more a servant. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. You're not a slave anymore in bondage to the things of the world. You're not a slave anymore in bondage to fear. But a son, and if a son, what does that entitle me to? An heir of God through Christ. Now I have one question. Why aren't you shouting? You're not near as poor as you think you are. You're really not. You're just as poor as your faith allows, I guess. Well, walking privileges. Then you've got the freedom now. You're not in bondage to fear, to the elements of the world. You have been declared a son. How does this help me, Frank? Okay, I'm starting to see it, but you know, now you said something about I could pray and not feel ashamed or whatever. Verse 15 again, that last phrase. Watch this. Because this adoption, you've got speaking privileges, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic phrase for a father. It is the most endearing phrase, the most endearing. You know, I love it when my daughter says, Daddy, and she can say it like nobody else. It's like Papa. It is the most endearing term you could use for a father. This is what happens to a child of God. Okay? They are born into God's family through the process of regeneration. We call it the new birth. But now God, it's not just that. God has declared that when he took them out of the world, took us out of the world, brought us into the family of God, he gave us a spirit of adoption that enable us right now to talk to our Father. You know, you don't come into the natural world knowing who your father is. You don't. It seems like you almost instinctively know who mom is, perhaps. The little baby's nuzzling there on mom, getting its nutrients from his mother. But you got to be told who your father is. I'm sorry, Dad, but you do. I mean, now, the dad's around all the time, the little child may assume, but if he's around somebody else all the time, he may assume that that person, is that my father? And so you say, Dada, that's your father. Okay? There's something about when a person gets saved that they know something really wonderful now. God's my father. I have a father. You know, I've prayed with people in the altar, and this is what I've done. I said, you know, they might be struggling a little bit. And I said, just ask the Lord to save you and tell him to come into your heart and you know, trust him now. And now, and then I always encourage them to do this. I'll say, start thanking him right now for what he's done. And they'll say, thank you, Lord, and all this. And I listen, and I don't want to lie to you. I don't listen for this. But in listening over the years, I've heard even the tiniest babe in Christ say, Heavenly Father. Maybe not every time. But it was a blessing to me when in my life, the way it was to understand, God's my Father. And now, I want to tell you something about my children. Now, if you have a violent father and if you have a cruel father or someone you couldn't talk to, then try to imagine for a moment that you have a wonderful father that is ready to listen to you anytime. Because my children, they don't hesitate. If they need something, they ask me. I get a call daily. Hey, Dad, can you pick this up? Can you do that? Dad, do you mind? Dad. I got calls today. I was studying today and texts go off. You know, I ignored it. Text went off. I ignored it. Text went off. I ignored it. Boom. Phone rings. Dad, are you ignoring my text? I'm studying. I'm busy right now because I saw it wasn't important, not to me. Well, did you read the text? Well, I saw where you needed this, that, and the other. Well, what do you think about that, Dad? I mean, they don't mind speaking to me about what they need. And they're adult children. If we could understand, he is Papa Father. He's someone that loves us with the most endearing love. My kids haven't always done right. My kids get in trouble. They're still not afraid to call me Dad. They're still not afraid to ask. I said to you today in the email, I said, if we could fully understand this, you'd never be ashamed again to bow your head and talk to God when you need to talk to him or lift your hands in praise for who he is and what he's done. You have been declared an adopted son who has speaking privileges. Cry, Abba, Father, when you're in trouble. Amen? Hallelujah! I mean, did we go Methodist and I didn't know about it? What is wrong with you people? I'll be honest with you. I love y'all, but sometimes y'all are tired. You just don't have any sense of humor at all. All right, let's move on. Some of you fixing to move on for sure. So, Number four. Gotta go, 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 go. Here we go. Number four. The adoption allows us to have assurance. And isn't that what you wanted before you got saved? Assurance. Oh God, I wish that, Lord, am I saved? I hope I am. Today you feel like you might be, and you got a goosebump when Daryl sang, and you got a headache when, well, I won't say who that, but you know, it's just all over the map, you know, and you can't figure any of it out. But you know what happens when you really give it to the Lord, and that spirit of adoption enables you to say, Father, Father God. Something takes place with your spirit and God's spirit. They get to talking to each other. The spirit bears witness. Excuse me, I cut some of that out, not intentionally. I was in a hurry. The spirit bears witness, it should say, with our spirit, that we are the children of God. You can look that up, verse 16, Romans 8. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that happens all the time in the believer's life. There's something inside there that communes with God. It's called fellowship. You know? There's a verse in John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. You know? One with the with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is a perpetual cleansing for all of our sins that we're not even aware of, keeping us in that communion with God. And that's all because we have that assurance. So the little baby doesn't know who his father is. He just takes it for granted. There's a lot of children grow up, and they thought this was their father all their life, and come to find out when they were grown, that's not your father. That man over there is your father. And so you just take by faith or take what people tell you. But when you get into the family of God, he gives your spirit a witness. You're my child. I believe people that are truly born again, they know it. That's the bottom line. Now, can a believer doubt? Absolutely. And I think sometimes God takes his hands away, a part of his wrath and chastisement. He takes his hands off us when we keep walking in a careless way or doing what we want to do. And he doesn't allow that fellowship. And a believer may feel at times that they are very lost. But I believe that is what drives that person down to get to talking to God and weeping and asking the Lord, you know, help me with this and help me with that. And if you're his child, his spirit's going to talk into your spirit and bearing witness, you're my child. Amen, Frank. I agree with everything you're saying. It gets even better. You have an inheritance now. If you're children, and that's the adult word, then you're an heir. Now, what is it you really need that you don't think you have? Do you need peace? Do you need some joy? Do you need love in your heart? Do you need some forgiveness? Do you have a monetary need even? I mean, a need, not do you want a new Beamer. I'm talking about, do you have a need? What do you have? If you are a child of God, then you are an heir. I believe God can supply all of our needs, whatever they are. Whatever they are. Now, sometimes I think I need something that I really don't need. God can say no. I'm not a good dad, really. I don't know. I've never been good at saying no. And it's a big weakness I've got. And I don't think it's helped my kids, and it hadn't helped me. But God is a perfect God. He knows when to say no and when to say yes. And my only job is just to trust him. That if he said no, he was right. And to praise him for the no's just like I praise him for the yes's. because he's too wise to make a mistake and he's too holy to do anything wrong. You have an inheritance. Six and finally, this is, to me, mind-boggling. All of us would come to the rescue of a child that was hurting. I don't believe there's a person in this room, if a little baby was hurting and no one could get to it and only you could get, you would go and comfort that child. Every one of us would do that. I know you people, you would do that. Sometimes God lets us hurt, though, for his own purpose. And hurting is a part of growing up. I think sometimes about the boys, and I'm so close to them. I call them just the boys, all three of them. You know, I just love them to death. But I think, you know, they're getting a little bit older, and people might start making fun of them at school or bullying this one or that one. And you just think these things. And you think about that day when they're going to get hurt for the first time from rejection or whatever. And it bothers me. And there's a part of me, and I know you feel this way about yours, you'd like to protect them from that if you could. But think about it. If we protected them from every little thing, could they grow up to be men? Could they grow up to be strong women? No. This adoption is about being an adult son. That's why suffering's involved, number six. Have you ever seen somebody, they just got saved, and they may have thought it's amen and hallelujah all the way to heaven from here on out. And lo and behold, my phone rings, and that very week, it's like all hell's broken loose on their life. And you think, well, if they really got saved, didn't God protect them for a little while? And I've heard preachers say, he puts protection around you for a while. Where's that at in the Bible? I've known people that got saved today and went home that day and their husband cussed them out because they went to church.
Amen.
You were a terrible man back in those days, Dip. I'll never forget, Barbara and I stood in the baptistry and she said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? What's wrong? None of her family even came. That man never even came to her baptism. But oh, what a wonderful man he is now. I don't know of a better man. What happened to him? Well, he entered the family through the new birth, and now he enjoys the family through adoption, and he walks and he speaks and he has assurance, he has inheritance. And he suffers. But his sufferings don't make him say, because he's grown up, he understands that's kind of part of growing, it's part of trials. His sufferings don't make him throw his fist up and say, why, God, I'll never go to church again. I thought once I got saved that I'd never have to hurt again. No, he talks about things like his faith is being tried. He's in the valley. On the mountain, he accepts it all as a divine process working together in a mysterious way for his good and God's glory. Paul says those adopted children, they understand that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You have been adopted. God didn't, you're not in a playpen anymore. You know, you're not barred up in jail and caged by all the things of the world or the fears of the future or the fear of man. Stand up for God and lift your hands and praise the Lord and say, I can talk to the Father. I have an inheritance. God is my child. Yeah, I may be down right now. I might be suffering some, but I'm going to tell you, just one glimpse of Him in glory will all the toils of life repay. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us when God takes Frank from this world and changes him into the likeness of God. The angels will fold their wings, bow their heads, and say, "My, look what God can do." Hallelujah. Can you say adoption?